Welcome back, everybody, to your favorite musical podcast, All Gas, No Trash. My name's Josh, here today with good buddy Adam.
Yeah, hello.
And as per usual, this is the No Curse Minute sponsored by Game Rage Magazine, where we don't curse for the first minute in order to, you know, trick the system into thinking that we're good guys and not...
We're playing ball.
Yeah, that we're playing ball here. We're working within the system and then hopefully eventually going to take it over.
And eventually deflate those balls so that we can have a little bit of a grip on the ball so that we can score touchdowns. And
well, yeah, so we can throw the ball better. Okay, that's not cheating, first of all. Okay, I just want to
clear
up.
I never said it was.
Yeah, I saw where you were going with that. All right. Anyways, all right, the minute's over. So thank you all for tuning in.
The minute's jover.
The minute's jover, but the episode has just begun. And today we're going to be talking... Well, we're going to be having a Clarion debate, I guess, even though it's probably not much of a debate, but we're going to have it anyways.
Yeah, I mean, so yesterday, which would be May 31st.
Saturday,
I decided to go to 1720 Warehouse. And for those that aren't...
What the hell is a 1720 Warehouse?
It's a venue. It's a very interesting venue in a very rank part of Los Angeles that's just off the 10 freeway. So if you get off on Alameda, go down Alameda or south towards Alameda, you'll make a right on 16th Street and you'll find this building that doesn't really look like much of a venue. But once you get inside, it's pretty fucking rad. I particularly like this place. I think it is a pretty sweet spot when it comes to venues and we're taking a break. All right. We had to take a brief intermission, but that's no difference to you. You wouldn't even notice. This 1720 place is it's a nice venue considering where it's at. Once you actually get into the spot, there's the bars are so trippy. Like they're really cool. They look like some kind of futuristic themed fucking bar.
On the inside?
Yeah, within the building itself, because looking outside.
On the outside, this looks like straight ass.
Yeah,
this looks like literal Skid Row.
Well, shit, man. There was heaps of RVs parked outside. There was homeless people, of course.
Oh, man, this guy's got a pretty sweet fucking plywood fucking house built right here on the sidewalk.
I showed up there at at 5, I think. So this was 30 minutes before it started, or maybe a little bit, even a little bit before that. But I waited a hot minute before Clarion actually got to hop on stage. And so from 5 o'clock to 9:30, I waited.
Jesus Christ. Wait, time did the show actually
start?
Yeah,
I think it started, 6:30 or so, because it was like a heap of. It was a heap of bands playing, and it was a free show. So, you know, most people would take advantage of that. They'll show up early and
how packed was it?
I think it was 60% probably. It was
for a free show.
Yes, but also it was a lot of fairly new bands. Right. And there was one that was the headliner that I think. They're pretty all right. I'm not like a huge fan of them or anything, but that was kind of the main focus of the night. But there were other bands being featured, including Clarion, but they happened to go on at 9:30. And there's no ventilation in that place and there's no AC. So it was just it was just swamp ass galore. I mean, there was just bodies on top of bodies on top of bodies. So if you get claustrophobic or you're hot,
fuck.
I mean, yeah, regardless of how hot it was there, I still think it's a cool venue for people to check out and go to, probably in, you know, less warmer climate, I guess. But nonetheless, getting back to Clarion, so I see them perform, and this place did them justice as far as sound goes. So I was able to hear
what it sounds like,
what they were able to sound
that wasn't at a shitty small venue,
right?
Allegedly.
I mean, the place.
That is factual evidence that sound was terrible at that place.
No. I'm talking about the legitimacy of that place being called a venue.
Oh, that's that. Okay, yeah. I guess that's true. That alleged venue. There you go. That makes sense.
I will say that when it came to their performance, I think. I feel like Yoda, dude. I feel like Yoda in episode 1 or 2, when he wasn't really sure what he had with Anakin. He's like, well,
I think you might go down the path of the dark side, but you're also very capable of being a Grandmaster Jedi, but we don't know where you're at. You're
clouded, the future is.
Yeah. And I feel very much in line with Yoda with the comparison to Anakin and Clarion. I don't really know what to make of this band anymore.
What makes you say that now? Now that you've heard them in a legitimate, you know, venue, I guess.
Because they did a 30-minute set, right? Or roughly thereabouts, 30-minute set. And a lot of their songs, like two-thirds of their music, kind of just blended in together. And I don't want to say it's stereotypical.
Oh, so it all kind of sounds the fucking same, I've been saying.
But when it comes to shoegaze, like, you kind of expect that. Like, you kind of expect that, right? But the last third of it, I was like, man, you know what? They kind of got something here, but I need more out of it. I need more out of them to really be convinced that this thing's going somewhere. And yeah, they might have booking. They might have bandit booking to work with them to get tour dates and shit, but they don't have management. They don't have a record label, I don't think. Well, as far as we know to this point.
Yeah.
But I was watching their set. I'm like, fuck, man. Two-thirds of this was just like, it was just all right. I wasn't really that passionate about it. And the last third of it, like I said, it was, I'm like, okay, well, this is pretty good. Like, they played Hello Juliet. I forgot what other track, and they played a new one. And my opinion started to change a little bit, but I still feel, like, clouded in my personal opinion or judgment of them. And after seeing them perform, I'm no closer to, like, sizing them up than when I first heard their music, you know, in previous episodes. And part of it is because I don't know how much mileage they can get out of this genre. And I don't know if they're capable of creating a new bag of tricks for people to keep coming back when it comes to albums in the future, right? And I thought, if they're going to make it work, what I need to see out of them personally, it doesn't really matter because artists are going to do whatever they want to do anyway. So this is like in my opinion, it's a moot point to say this, but I'm going to say it anyways. I think what they need to do for me personally, in order to create an ever evolving sound, but still retain what Clarion is they need to juggle between, because I think they're capable of doing it after hearing the girl, what's her name, Saya, vocalist and the bass player. She has like these wailing and soft vocals, but she can be kind of harsh, and it kind of reminds me of the Cranberries, you know, like Zombie and Dreams. Like those two songs, I think, are the mix that I'm looking for between the soft and the harsh, and they kind of already do that, but I think I need a little bit more of the softer side in like a greater balance between the soft and the harsh. I also think that they need some variation in BPMs in terms of their songs. Like, they need songs that have different paces. And the other track that I think, I don't want to say they should emulate, like, obviously they should still retain their own identity, but there's this track from Smashing Pumpkins called Mayonnaise that I think they can emulate to some degree, coupled with the Cranberry stuff, where they can find like the balancing act between themselves, the Cranberries, and Smashing Pumpkins that allows them to have a whole runway for at least two albums. But after that, I don't know where they go after this. Like, I don't know if you're talking about bands that are outliers and that stand the test of time. If they want to live beyond that, they need to give, I think they need a little bit, I don't know if it's genres or more exploration to really expand themselves. But I think what I just described is good for two albums. But anything beyond that, I don't fucking know.
Gonna be hard to sell.
Yeah. Because you're going to end up starting to repeat yourself to the point that you might end up having like AC/DC syndrome, where it's like, oh, man, I know what to expect from AC/DC. You're never going to be disappointed, but you're never, ever really going to be impressed either.
Well, but by the same token, AC/DC makes a lot of fucking money, so I mean...
Yes, but people are also morons, and
but that's part of the equation. Yeah. You have, like, you're... That's the weird balance, right? Being, I don't know, like an artist or whatever. You have to balance... And if you want to make money, all right, don't get me wrong. If you really want to make fucking money, you have to balance the stupidity of the masses.
Yeah.
And you have to balance that with your artistic expression. So, like... You can't just go and make fucking super technical highbrow shit because the dumb fucks aren't going to get it. And then they're not going to like it. You literally have to like cater to the lowest common denominator if you want to make fucking money. That's why pop music is so popular. It's popular music because of the fact that it literally, it's like a certain BPM. It's like fucking certain lyrical melodies. And then like, that's it. Yeah. And it's like, that's the dumb shits fucking love it. They eat that shit up because it's easy to digest. Taylor Swift is easy to digest and understand. There is nothing, there's no like hidden meanings. There's no fucking like, everything's just is how it is. It's digestible as opposed to, I don't know. I'm trying to think of an example of something that's like super highbrow, but I can't come up with anything off the top of my head right now, but it's akin to that where if you want to make the money, You gotta cater to the dipshits. Like, that's just kind of how it is. Now, if you don't give a fuck about money, then yeah, you just do you, all right? Which is why I think Clarion will probably do okay, because, again, everybody, like, the Zoomers, they all love that they love repetitive shit. Like, that's just what they're into. They watch the same YouTube videos over and over and over again, right? Like, they watch Gen Alpha, and the Zoomers are going to be eating this type of shit up, I think, because it's repetitive. It's all kind of sounds the same. And sure, maybe that's like genetic audio autism that's been like branded or OCD in kids nowadays, because they'll sit there and, like I said, they'll watch the same fucking video. They'll watch the same video and over. They'll listen to the same song 1,000 times on repeat. So why not make an album that is different songs, but all kind of sound like the same fucking song? That's a novel concept, I think, that could probably make a shit ton of money. So, granted, and this is where we don't know, or at least I don't know. I don't know where the thought process of Clarion is. Is it, yes, we need to, you know, cater to the lowest common denominator. We need to make shit that sounds similar. That's the formula. We're going to follow a formula. Or are they just creatively stifled and they just don't have what it takes? That we don't know. We will never know.
Whatever it might be, that's what they're walking between. Mm-hmm. And if they don't figure it out, you know, much like, and then, fuck, I didn't mean, I don't mean this to take a shot at this dude because I think he is talented. I mean, obviously he's working with Jelly Haha and he is within the songwriting process, right? The Deluxe guy, Sean Garin.
Yeah.
Regional success, not national success, not global success. A guy that knows how to throw down disco tracks or synthesizer oriented music, knows how to do that. He had mild success with his own band. All right. It didn't really work out the way he wanted to. But as a producer, he can get his hands on everybody or people that are in line with what he does, and he can dabble and do all kinds of stuff with different artists. With this band, if they don't expand with every single album, I think they're doomed, in the sense that they won't go beyond being a regional success, and they may tour nationally across the United States with like varying success of audiences, right? I don't know if they'll actually ever sell out, but they'll have their audiences in different states. But when they come back to the U.S. or when they come back to California, their largest audience is here, and it should be, right? But when it comes to larger bands, like, they just have, you know, they're selling out everywhere they go. And I don't know if Clarion's capable of that if they release a debut album, because I know what it's going to sound like. It's going to sound like Julie. So I don't know if
Yeah, well, okay, you also got to think about this too, right? there are also some guys, like, we'll use baseball as an example, right? Mm. There's some guys that are just destined to only play AAA, or there's guys that are only destined to make it to college ball.
Yeah.
There's dudes that are only destined to make it to play high school, right? Yeah. So I think the same thing can be applied to bands and to the music industries. Yeah, there's some people that are just going to be local talents. There's going to be some people that are going to be regional talents. There's some people that are going to be continental talents. And there's some people that are going to be global talents. And some people just aren't just destined to get out of that fucking zone. Their shit's just, whether it be some kind of bad luck, whether it be an interaction that they had with someone higher up in the music industry that doesn't like them. And they're like, fuck, we're going to make sure these assholes never fucking come out of the regional circuit or whatever. Who knows? There's a bevy of reasons. Could just be that their BPMs are an odd number and like the masses just don't like that. Who the fuck knows? Right. There's a ton of random circumstances that determine that shit. It's not all generally necessarily related to skill or talent. Because let's be honest, if it was just solely skill and talent, there'd be a lot of these people that haven't made it that would be bigger than Taylor Swift. Right. Like, but it's not about that. It's not about how good you are. It's about the way you play the politic game within music. It's the way you fucking get your connections. There's a ton of shit where, as we've seen, people who were Nepo babies get fucking deals and have records and stuff like, or have albums and have representation, and they're terrible. They're ass, literal ass. And I at least am rooting for Clarion in the fact that, like, that's as far as I'm aware of. I don't think any of them are fucking related to anyone in the music industry, which is probably why they're having a hard time fucking getting anywhere.
They also just started, so it's not like...
Yeah, sure. I mean, but they're also leagues ahead of some assholes who've been in it for 10 years.
Yeah, and I think, regardless of what I actually have to say, I think they are going to succeed, but ultimately, when it comes to being a global sensation, and I don't know if they're capable of being that, because people are finicky about the music that they enjoy, and it's hard to appeal to the masses in mass.
Right.
But as you were talking about, when it comes to kids or people in general liking what they like, I think you can do all right when it comes to finding your fans and just catering to them.
Yeah.
And it might only be 100,000.
Right.
And but at least it's 100,000 scattered over the U.S.
That's enough to make a decent living. There's dudes who played minor league baseball and never went to the pros and still made a decent living. Made a career out of playing in the minor leagues, right? Mm. Made a decent living. Again, us assholes that are sitting here working a fucking wage cut job for $60,000, $70,000 a year, they could make that easily. You know, being a regional talent band. You could be making that.
Yeah.
You could be making a decent living. Right. And to reiterate what I've said in the past about Clarion. Yeah, I'm not a fan of shoegaze. I'm not a fan of this type of music. I'm not necessarily a fan of Clarion. However, I can put that aside and say, OK, yes, there's something here.
Yeah, there is value.
That has value, that has commercial appeal if they do the right things. And I don't know what their correct roadmap to success looks like, because it's different for everyone. And you just can't fucking tell. Everyone has a different path they gotta walk.
Yeah.
So maybe their path is doing the opposite of what you're saying. Maybe it's just to continue to make songs that all sound the same. Two thirds of it sounds like the same fucking song over and over again, and then one third of it is like, oh man, this is the banger shit or whatever you want to call it. Maybe that's the formula for success. I guess we'll see.
Yeah.
We shall see.
I think definitely I'm issuing a personal challenge to them to beat any assumptions or any predictions that we have about them, and to exceed all that, because I already have my ideas in my head about where they're going to be at. Because I feel like I could tell with Rio Costa, I wasn't going to mention them, but now that I did, I feel like I could tell where their ceiling's at. Their floor, to me, is around where this band called Brigine is at. Mm-hmm. Where they have like a significant following. It's in the five figures, probably on the lower end of, under 50,000, right? But they're able to tour and do all this stuff, and they play like 500 person venues or maybe even 1,000. That's pushing it, right? Mm. But they could push it. To me, Rio Costa, if they play their cards right, could be capable of being international sensations
like Krungbin, where they can play on any festival in any fucking country, mm-hmm. and that is their fucking ceiling. Where do I think they're going to end up? Somewhere in between. Best case scenario, they end up like Krungbin. With Clarion, I can't see it, man. Like, I can't even imagine. Like, I can't see the future with them. And it's hard, because I was very on board with their music and seeing it live. I'm like, it's just okay. It's good. I know there's an audience for it. I know people like it. I know they will like it once they travel and people go out to see them, but I can't tell where their ceiling's at. That's kind of where I'm at with Clarion.
Yeah. All I have to say in closing is, always in motion, the future is.
Yeah.
Clouded, the dark side has become.
Yoder.
Anyways, it's Yover.
It's Yover.
All right, that'll be the episode. Thanks for checking it out. If you didn't like it, tell us why we're assholes in the comments. And we will proceed to shred you a new asshole. Because and we won't even debate the topic. We'll just be assholes to you. And we'll find all your personal information and fucking make fun of it on the internet.
Okay.